there are not many game developers who can do everything. But Adam does code, art, sound, can cut videos. He's from Canada, so he's naturally a lawyer. But he's also the person who fixed the render cycle in GDScript. And he has some fun other projects, like the port from Doom, the very old game, into the Godot engine, and how this worked and what he learned and what you can tell us about it. We will hear from you now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My mic wasn't on. I'll start again. So I hope you're all well. That's nice to have a nice crowd here in Munich in this room. So I'll start with this. So I did it. I ported Doom to Godot. Oh, wrong slide. Oh, sorry. Technical difficulties. Previous line. Okay, there's lags. There's lag in my phone. So, C and C++ Noob ported Doom to run in Godot. So, I did it. I ported Doom to Godot. Oh, does that sound?
It will be worse.
Finally, it's not that one. I'm talking about this one. So, for those of you who are not old enough, this is the original Doom game released in. So let's rip and tear. Who am I? Let's start with this. My name is Adam Scott. I'm Adam Scott on GitHub. Fortunately, I have the rights on that name in GitHub. I'm from Sherbrooke, Quebec. It's quite a little small, so it's 1 hour and a half from Montreal by car. Formerly a lawyer, so as I told before, it's more common than you think in Godot, especially if you're Canadian and in the Godot production team. Shout out to my Canadian compatriot Clay John, who just did the rendering keynote. So I always had interest with the idea of using Godot to make games. I began with simple PRs in 2020 and 2022. Then I rediscovered creating games in 2021. I won the 42nd Godot Wild Jam with my little game named Tomb Blaster. I'd really had fun making everything: models, textures, level design, mechanics, music, sound effects. Yes, I think everything is the keyword here. I did a little thing in Godot 4, so I fixed a bug that was there in Godot Alpha 1, that cyclic dependencies errors in Godot 3, they were still there in Godot 4, and I fixed them. So thank you very much for clapping for a very dirty hack, but the hack works. So I organized meetings with the GDScript team because nobody would do it. Yes, this image is not really the GDScript team, but it works. So I'm the GDScript maintainer since April 2023. I was began to be sponsored by GDQuest in May 2023. And then since June 2023, I joined the Godot production team. So I'm really happy to be there to help the community and the project. So why Doom? Why not? Why Doom? It's a few slides that I have bullet points. So that Doom was released in 1993. It's one of the most influential games that were ever made. It revolutionized the first-person shooter genre. It was open source in 1997, so that's why it's ported to everything. I'll show you later. So, and the code is self-contained, so it's very easy to port Doom. So that's very fun to do it. So, like I said, Doom runs on everything. And I say everything, I mean Doom runs on old consoles. So it runs on Microsoft DOS. It runs on Sega Genesis or the Mega Drive here in Europe, 32X. It runs on the Atari Jaguar. It runs on 3DO. So this is the infamous port of Doom on the 3DO. I want to shout out Rebecca Einman, who did the infamous port from scratch in less than 10 weeks. She is now using Godot for her ports, so she has a port company now. I put the Nintendo SNES port. I put the European release just for you. Again, the European release for Sony PlayStation. So there's the Doom, the US release on the left, the European release on the right. I don't know why the Doom guy has a bandolier. That's pretty interesting. There's a port on the Game Boy Advance. It was made teen-friendly. The blood is green. And even in Japan, in the NEC PC-98. So Doom runs on new consoles. So the latest port by id Software, it makes it available on every console. It uses Unity. And it's available on PC too, on Steam, Epic Store, or GOG. And really, Doom, the original one, is dirt cheap to buy. I highly encourage you to buy the Ultimate Doom package if you haven't already. So, Doom runs on what? It runs on printer. So for here in the for those in the scene, it's a printer screen with the buttons on the right. So it's pretty special. So Doom runs on digital camera from 1998. So this is a video from DGR. I'll put you the first 10 seconds. That's what I call a point-and-shoot camera. That's one a one-liner if it is one. So it runs even on a pregnancy test. So it's only natural to make it run on from a game engine. The question is how to do this in Godot. So, like I said, it's open source since 1997. So, as Godot and Doom are open source, it should be easy, right? Yeah, kinda. Well, in order to do this, I need to explain how did I do it. So, I'll explain what is GD extension. So, this is a pretty new, nice, and new technology for Godot 4. So, I'll read you the definition. GD extension is a Godot-specific technology that lets the engine interact with native shared libraries at runtime. You can use it to run native code without compiling it with the engine. So, that's the definition. But for those who are not technology inclined, you maybe had a stroke reading these words. So let me explain. So yeah, I just said that. So how to extend Godot 3? So in Godot 3, it was not the same. It was not as easy as Godot 4 with GD extension. So is it possible to do a GD script plugin in Godot 3 to accomplish what you want to do? If yes, great, nice. Don't need anything to do it, but oh, it's not possible. So you have to edit the Godot source code, then compile the custom engine, then distribute the custom engine. That's quite cumbersome. So usually the Godot release from the website of godotengine.org is at the top. There's your game at the bottom. So you need your own custom engine to use your feature, and if you want to distribute it as a plugin or something, you must like tell users to download your custom version and things like this. So it's not that easy. But with then was GD extension was created. So GD extension was made with the intention of exposing as much functionality as possible in order to create extensions that have the power to do as much as creating new modules from within the Godot engine source code by itself. So it works flawlessly between the base game engine, your game, and the GD extension you created or you downloaded. So why would I want to program something else than in GDScript? Like, for if you're new to programming and then you start using GDScript, you say, oh, I can do anything. But GDScript is nice, but it's not suited for every task. So it's super performant in general programming and game logic, but not so for computing tasks. So imagine you have a lot of computation to do or a lot of big calculus things and such. So it's not the most performant scripting engine that exists. So imagine that imagine that you don't find a plugin in the asset library and you want in your game or app integrate machine learning inside your game. Or you want to integrate programs like Git, just like the game Hack and Slash did. What if you want to use SQLite database and store data? Or what if you want to read PDFs, generate PDFs? What if the program already complete in what if the program you want to integrate is already complete in another language and you want to interface it with Godot? So why Doom? Like I said, the code is self-contained. You just have to plug and play. So that's perfect. It should be pretty easy to modify it and bind it with Godot. What is Godot CPP? That's another thing. So what are bindings? I'll explain just a little bit. So bindings are libraries for languages that know how to speak to another environment. So the bindings for GD extension know how to speak with GD extension technology inside your Godot executable. That's perfect because I can use Godot CPP to bind it, to bind Godot with my CPP project, my C++ project. I can use Godot CPP to do this. Godot CPP is the only official binding that exists currently that is supported by the Godot engine team by itself. And I want to shout out to David, David Snopek, that currently maintains the Godot CPP. That is the lead maintainer of the repo, but there's plenty of contributors that contribute to Godot CPP. I want to, if you are Rustian, if I don't know if I spelled that right. So if you use Rust, there's Godot Rust that is maintained by Bromion, one of the members of the community. So I should maybe quit Discord. It doesn't work, so I'll continue. So there's a few projects that intend to expose other languages such as Go and Swift. Talking about Swift, there's a talk today at 5 p.m. By Miguel de Icaza about this. It's titled Swift Godot, Fixing the Multi-Million Dollar Mistake. I encourage you to go to his talk after this if you're interested in Godot bindings. And his talk is in English. This website says that it is in Dutch, but it's in English. Why Godot CPP? Because, well, Doom is written in C, and C is a superset of C++, so I can use C inside the C++ project. And writing Doom in another language is way too much complicated. It could introduce new bugs. Why rewrite a software when you can use it as is? So I did that little thing that is called Godot Doom Node. So this is the core of the port. You have the node here. I don't have a custom icon yet, but it does everything to run Doom in Godot. It's just a texture rect behind it, so it extends texture rect. Just set the asset paths on the right, import them and enable the node. It supports even Doom-based mods. You can play with WASD if you want. It can even run multiple instances of Doom simultaneously. Sorry for the crappy frame rate. It's the capture on my crappy laptop that made it run slowly, but it doesn't lag like this on real time. Then I did the little Doom player. What it is, it enables you to play directly inside the editor, so you can kill time by killing demons. And if you're caught playing Doom, you can always say that you just studied the masterful and timeless game design of John Romero. So I want to shout out to Scott Campbell. Scott Campbell, as much as I wanted to brag to be the first to do it, somebody beat me to the title of the first. So Scott is a slaty dev on GitHub. He shared his Doom port a month ago on Reddit without any involvement of my part. I kept the project secret on my side, but he was the first one to beat me publicly. I think the fact that there was multiple Doom ports inside for Godot is a testament to GDA extension, to Godot CPP abilities, and to the Doom's legacy itself. I'm jealous of the name Godoom. I'm a little jealous that I didn't think of that myself. So, here's the plan of the talk. So, I'll switch mic. Sorry. So, I'll tell you how I made the Godot Doom known. It will be the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, to GD Extension and Godot CPP. All together in LTMix. I really don't want to overwhelm you if you're a beginner or something like that, or if you're an artist. This talk is intended for beginners. But I'll make sure to try to explain. I must try to speak directly into the microphone. So I'll try my best to make sure that I explain each step of what I'm doing. Hopefully, there will be time for your Q&A. I hope so. Using Godot CPP is a great way to learn C and C++. Not only that, but it's a good way to understand how Godot works. It could even prepare you to understand how Godot works internally, and you could even contribute back to Godot. So, let's begin. So, I'll talk about the setup of a GD extension project. What is the Godot CPP template? So this is the Godot CPP template. It's the GitHub page. It's a template of a project for building a fast GD extension project in C++. What it does, it comes with a build system. It's easy to set up. It's easy to set up auto completion. And I want to shout out Patrick Exner, which goes by the name of Flame Lizard that maintains the template. So I highly suggest you to, if you want to try the template, if you want to try the template, to follow the documentation about building Godot itself. If you install all the prerequisites and the requirements that are needed for your platform, you should have no problems to build your C++ project of Godot CPP. So I said that my talk was for beginners, so let's see how C and C++ compile. So what is compilation? I think it's a must if we want to see how it works. So computers can't read. Like, you cannot just pull a text to a computer and make the computer think that the computer will understand directly what you read. Not even programming languages. They can read that. So this is compiling code. It's to take human code, to parse it, and compile it into machine code, which is like binary numbers, like 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, and such. So the arrow means that the computer parses the human code and transforms it into an optimized machine code that is readable for a specific processor. That's important. So for artists or non-programmers, this isn't machine code. So funny thing, this is a valid hello world in C. Funny thing, I consider myself an artist, so jokes on me. There's two types of languages. So there's certain are dynamic and others are static. So
certain languages are dynamic. So what you see here is when you write code, the time when you write code, and then on the right is the runtime when you execute the code. So when you, for dynamic languages, you just, when you distribute the human code, you distribute it in the run on the runtime environment, and then there's a software that will compile it into machine code and then will execute it. If the arrow appears, so certain languages are dynamics. Dynamic. There's JavaScript, Python, Ruby, PHP, Lua, and GDScript, just to name a few. So the advantages of dynamic languages is that type checking is done on runtime. Well, it's more disadvantages, but there's more. It's more flexible to write code dynamically, but it tends to be less optimized. They compile under the scene. You don't see the compilation yourself. But other languages are static. So when you write your human code, you compile it before. So you render machine code, and then you distribute the machine code to the ones who need the binary. And then the client can execute your machine code directly. That was my screensaver. So other languages are static. There's C, C++, C#, Java, Go, Rust, and Swift. So type checking is done on compile time. This is less flexible code, but it tends to be more optimized. So you must explicitly compile your project if you want to distribute your project results. So I just want to say that modern compile languages have it easy. So in Rust, you just have to type cargo build in your command line, Swift build, and go build. They usually come with a package manager that automates the acquisition and the use of third-party libraries. And the modern languages system, like the project cargo, Swift, and Go, know that there's a project in your directory, and they can build the entire thing. But C++ is an old language. Like 1995, like I'm from 1998, but yeah, I'm old too. 1989, sorry. English is not my first language. C is even older. C is like from 1972, 73. And C is different. Like this is for compiling just one file and it overflows. So that's no good. So, and then when you compile, you must, after all the compilation, you must link the files between all of them to result to the final binary. Whew, that's a mouthful. So what is a build system? Like, remember this? A build system automates the compilation steps needed. It removes the need to write manually each argument in the command line. It automates the compilation linker steps. So I strike down completely fixes because it doesn't do magic by itself, but it simply fills down the forms for you. So you have your makefile or your file that you that is handled by the build system. It's a series of rules that it executes to compile your project. So it will the make engine will search for the files, then it will find them and compile them for every file. If the animation follows, and then it will link them together and build your file. So this template, I'm always talking about the Godot C++ template. The template uses scans, and scans is the build engine that we use. So there's a lot of info there, but it's an easy program to. It's easy to program custom logic with this. So this is why we went with scans, but you don't have to know how to program scans. I'll show you why. How? So. This is the part of the live setup of a Godot CPP template project. But the problem is that I have a mic now, and my headset doesn't work. So, oh, yeah. So thanks, Clay, my fellow former lawyer from Canada. So let's do this. I'll just I'll do my best. Oh, sorry. My
my mouse isn't working like it should. I'll just clone my screen now, apply, cancel the modifications. So I'll exit the live. No, I didn't want to do that. Okay, my time is okay, I think. I'll just F11. So I'll just go to, I'll open a new browser, new file, new window. So I'll go to github.com, Godot engine, and then Godot CPP template. So how to do this, I'll zoom in a little bit for you, for your eyes. So you just have to click, use this template, create a new repository. Then on repository name, you just have to type your name of your project. I'll name it GodotCon 2023 Live. It will be private because it will not be the cleanest code. I'll create the repository, so it clone. So templates are useful at GitHub. It's a simple project that you can create a project from. So I'll use a code here. I'll copy the SSH path. I'll go just a file there. I say git clone this. It clones this. I think it's a word. So I'll just open Obsidian. I have notes. Steps. So.
Okay. So it does work. Okay. Thank you, Clay. Sorry for, you can applaud Clay for his hard work. So, the first thing you need to do when you cloned a project, you just go to the, I'll just close this. Thank you, Sarah-san. So, I'll just go to the directory and then I run the following command. It's git submodule update init recursive. That's scary, but what it does is only to populate the submodule Godot CPP. So it's the Godot CPP itself project that is included in yours. So then I can open the project in a VS Code. So I'll do code insiders dot. So it's supposed to open. I zoom in. So there's a few steps that I recommend you to do. So the first thing you'll do, you'll go to extensions, and then you'll do at recommended. So we recommend two packages. So the first one is the C++ extension pack that is necessary to do C and C++ builds, and then Python that is needed. We may add new extensions, maybe if they feel needed, but feel free. I use VS Code because it's popular, but you can use any code editor that you want. That's a given. So once that is done, I'll just create a file that in my VS Code directory for my settings that is called settings.json, and that inside the settings.json, I'll edit editor.formatOnSave. This is not needed, but this is really, really, really useful. And then there's cpp.intellisense engine. You put that to default because otherwise it can mess up with some things. It's not necessary again, but it fixes some maybe potential issues. So with that enabled, you can go to the command line. You can do Control Shift P, and then it is. So I write down C++ edit JSON. You'll select that, and it will create a CPP properties.json. That's useful because we need to configure some things here. So by default, VS Code uses the workspace folders, every file in the directory that of your project to search for paths. That's not what we want in this project. So you just remove this, and then you'll add in compile commands, and then you'll paste this here, remove the excess quotes, and then you add their compile commands.json. I think that's what it needs to be. So yes, it would complain that it does not exist yet, but we will create it soon. So you now need to modify the sconstruct file. So this is the file of the build system that I talked just before. There's the lib name that is named extension name. I don't think that is this is intended for your project. So you just have to change it for name my lib hello world. So then what you need to do is to edit the demo bin example.gd extension. You can rename it what you want and rename the entry symbol here. You have to edit the path. There's currently an issue with the template. The paths are not updated to the right paths. It will be fixed soon. But you edit this. I'll change project soon, so I'll not edit this file right now. And then what we need to do is to go to the terminal, go to the Godot CPP directory that we initialize. So it's there, the Godot CPP directory. So inside this, you use scons. So scons is the you invoke the build engine to build the Godot C++ project. It's needed because it will generate some template files for you that doesn't exist right now. So you must generate them to be able to interact with Godot CPP. So you execute scons here. I will not do it, but you just have to type scons and then enter. And then go back one directory, go back to your root, and then run scons itself on your project. So it's important to do it twice, but it's important to do this in order because it will give you some headaches otherwise. So after this, I'll just change the project for the cooked one, the pre-made, like in the kitchen show, the pre-made one. So it will be there. So I have something to tell you. I didn't prepare enough in advance, and I didn't add the time to completely complete the project, the demo project, but I can explain you what's the step to come. So you need to create, I'll just go here, I'll rename them back and back because they are backups. So you need to create two files. So there's hello world.cpp and there's hello world.h. So you just have to pretty much. I'm seeing the time. I don't think I have the time to like explain you everything, but I'll do this. I'll explain you by copy pasting. So you must include the node header file. So I'll just explain you what's the difference between H and CPP. So H are header files. So they declare what is intended to be in the CPP file. So that's not exactly that, but it's pretty easy to think about this like that way. So in my H file of Hello World, I declare that there's my class Hello World that is a public node. So it extends node. It needs the GD class here and the namespace there that wraps around the public class. I declare my variable, so I have a hello name private string. I have helper functions, so get hello name, set hello name. It will be needed afterwards. There's protected bind methods. That is an important method because if I go to, oh, there was some noise. If I, I will tell you. Oh, I'll tell you. So I'll explain you the bind methods really quick, but this is a sample class file for it. It does not a lot of things, Hello World, but in Hello World, I go back, take the back file, copy it finally, and I'll explain you the bind methods and then I'll go to my continue my slides, but the main methods is how you bind your C++ code with your the Godot side of things. So you can declare, oh, in Godot I have a get hello name
function, so you bind it to hello world get hello name, and then you have a set hello name that you bind it with set hello name, and then you can add a property, like add a property in the editor to be edited in the inspector. So it's rather easy to add properties like that. And then when you have this and you compile that, so the CPP file is the implementation, so it's like the real code is there, and the H file is only to declare stuff. So you'll be able to, I'll try to do a follow up to this to be able to, for beginners to
Yes, okay, sorry. So I'll get my mic just a little back. For, I just lost my train of thought. So yes, the H file, the CPP file, that made it so that if you run this GD extension and you run it with the demo, you'll be able in the inspector to add a name, and then if you go play the node will each frame process and then say hello world. So you can applaud for this demo that is only in was spoken or not. I'll go back to my slides. Sorry again, it was a timing issue. It doesn't work. I'll just join, apply. Yes. I didn't see the pop-up in the screen. So I join. Oh, it's already there. So I click there. I'll function F12. F11, sorry. So how did I port Doom to Godot? So I needed to add a tablespoon of Doom. So I used a Doom generic that is a library. Oh, I'll just take my notes. That is a library from So I use Doom generic. It transforms Doom into a library of sorts. So it's really easy to port Doom with this this project. It's based on FB Doom. That is practical because, in a sense, FB Doom makes available the Doom pixels, so the rendering of the Doom engine. It makes it available to the frame buffer, so it's quite practical to have access to that frame buffer. So it declares some functions. Doom generic declares some functions like dginit, draw frame, sleep milliseconds, get ticks milliseconds, get key, and get mouse states. Just have to implement this in your C file, and then or CPP file, and then you can start Godot and edit, interact with Doom. It's a very simple interface, and then you just have to add water. You just have to call Doom generic create, and then Doom generic tick when you want to update Doom. So that's pretty handy. Did it? Yes, I underlined this. So which type of port it is? This is important because it impacts the next lines. There's multiple types of ports. There's a purest port, the remaster port, and the remake port. It more or less changes how work you put in the port. And yes, so my port is more on the purest side of things. We'll reuse the logic and the display from the code base, and we'll only use sounds and music. Will be re-implemented with new technologies. So how did I handle multiple instances of Doom? That's quite interesting. So Doom is intended to be run standalone. So as Doom itself was programmed to run as a program, it mutates the global state and it makes it difficult to integrate multiple instances of Doom in a single project to have multiple nodes running instances differently. So there's no Doom new. Like, you cannot instantiate Dooms with the old C code. So what would be nice is to have separate programs, to have your GD extension that summons, that enables you to load Godot Doom nodes, and that connects to an external Doom program, and as many times you need. So it will be very useful if we could share memory between those programs.
So imagine that you have your Godot Doom node. And what about I instantiate Doom, and then I share memory with it? Like, it would be awesome to have this. Like, share memory like the screen or sound and music. It could be really, really, really handy. So I just skip forward my animation slides. Sorry for the delay. So what I did, it exists. There's things that exist in Linux that is called shared memory. So there's functions like share memory open. And I map memory directly inside with this function. So I can set up a struct that this lists all the memory that exists for the game that I want to interact with. And that enables me to interact with the instances that I spawn. So essentially, with this, we plan ahead what we want to share between the programs. And you must think, like, structs, what are they? They are like this representation. They are like squares that you plan ahead what memory you want to assign to. So you have your frame buffer, your sound instruction, your music instruction, and every such. They can be as big as, I think, frame buffer takes 8 megabytes. And then I have like things that takes 1 byte. So it very varies. It varies. It's not to scale. So, but did I say that I was a newbie? I think I said this in the beginning because I talked yesterday with Ariel Mansour, the Godot co-founder, with Juan Linienski yesterday. And he asked me why I didn't use threads instead of separate programs. He said that it was much simpler and no need to separate programs as each thread has its own global state. I answered that I didn't think of that. So thanks, Ariel, for the tip. I highly encourage you to watch his talk in his talk from GodotCon 2019 in Brussels. It's related because he ported King Dreams to the Switch. So, displaying Carnage, it uses the DG screen buffer from the Doom generic library. And so this is like the screen. Imagine that this is the screen. It's DG screen buffer is like an array of in size of Doom generic res X multiplied by Doom generic res Y multiplied by RGBA. So it looks rather like that. So that's quite intimidating if you don't know what it means, but in its parts form, if you split values by 4, oh, it's pixels. So you can group them by 4. It's red, green, blue, alpha. It's possible to pass this in Godot. We just have to put these values in a packed byte array, then update the image texture resource that is linked to the Godot node. That extends, like I said before, texture rect. So how to blast demons in stereo? So I hit the limit of Doom Generic, because Doom Generic was made to specially handle video, like displaying the frame buffer, and to handle input. But, well, handle input, the input you give it to Doom Generic, but it doesn't handle directly sounds. So we must edit the source code itself to support sounds. So what I did is I used Godot sound capabilities, like Godot, we can pass data to Godot to play the sound, and Godot can play the sound if I want to. So I used here a doomspawnsound.c. That's a file that I created in my project. So there's this value here, if I zoom in. So this DG sound module is like the callbacks for my functions. So it's there to be used. And then in my start sound function, I just pass the data to the shared buffer that I said before. But SEP is the information that Dooms gives us. That is the pan of the sound. So that's quite interesting. But Godot doesn't have a pan option in the audio stream player. That's unfortunate. So what I did in my Doom CPP file, and I wanted to show you this because when you use CPP, it's like if you use GDScript. Like, it's the same API, it's the same function, it's the same way. If you do it in GDScript, you'll be able to do it in C++, and if you do it in C++, you pretty much
are able to do it in GDScript for the API. So for each child instruction, I just remap, use the utility functions. So utility functions are the global functions that are available in GDScript. So you can remap. So I remap here the separation. I put it from 0 to int 8 max. So it's 0 to 127 to minus 1 and 1. And then I set the position of the channel. So what it does when the channel is audio stream player 2D. So what I did is pretty, I think, ingenious. So I have my viewport with my 2D audio stream player, and then I just change the position of the node itself, and it pans. So there's no pan option in Godot for the stream player, but you can use the 2D one and hack away your. So behind the scenes, if you play my player, you'll just know that there's nodes that just constantly move right and left. So let's add some riffs. So for those who are too young to know, this isn't only the save icon, but this is a real thing. I used it a lot in my assignments for school. It's a floppy disk, and disks like this are only 1.44 megabytes. Sorry. So MIDI to the rescue. So I say MIDI because it's MIDI in the Doom files, but it isn't like really MIDI. You need to convert it before, but it's an internal format that they use. So you need to. I needed to parse the WAD file. Edit, use the muse to mid file that exists in the project. I converted it back to C++ because it was easier for me. So, well, I finally got MIDI from the WAD file. The WAD file is the package of a game of Doom. So what is MIDI? Because I talked about MIDI, but MIDI is Musical Instrument Digital Interface. MIDI, it stands for that. So imagine that you have a keyboard, a digital keyboard, that you want to plug it with your rack, and then it doesn't send like real sound, but it sends commands. So when you press the clock at a certain time, the sound rack will know that the sound was the keyboard was hit at a certain time with certain force and such. So what if you do the same thing but in the file itself? So this file is very lightweight. It doesn't contain the recording of audio, but only instructions. It's like a music sheet, so with the timings and such. So what you do with a MIDI file is that you put this, you use an instrument bank of a digital instrument bank, and then you send your commands in that bank that makes with the timings and that plays music. So, instrument banks make all the difference. I have a sample here of a Windows GMI. But it's not like that much groovy or something like that. But if you use the Roland SC88 ST Pro, the stuff you could have in 1993, it sounds a lot more. Maybe with the system, it does sound exactly the same. Trust me, it isn't. Oh, so how to play MIDI in Godot? So what to do then? There's no MIDI support in Godot. Yeah. So you could create a proposal to include MIDI support in Godot. Yes, but how many projects you really use this? That's a question for us maintainers that must ask ourselves. But there's a solution before our very own eyes. There's FluidSynth, that is a library for C and C++. That library is cross-platform, and you can use it. You can even specify your own instruments. So that's really nice, and it plays MIDI. So I implemented it. I used the dock and I used the FluidSynth to play music. I'll just skip ahead because I don't have much time left. So I'll next. That plays, sets a gain, creates a new player. And then I can create a new player, get the stored MIDI file that I extracted, and then add it to memory, then play it. And it plays exactly as you heard. So, demo of the Doom player. I'll just take a quick. If do Clay, if you want to just support the mic again. So, I'll just make sure that I see everything. So I'll just move my mouse here, but it doesn't show. Okay, clone. Okay, so I'll use, opened up something that was already ready, but I closed it. I'll open up here. CD, it will be CD builds, no, tests, Godot Doom player. I'll do Godot editor here. And then my laptop is not the fastest one. Just wait a moment, I promise you it will be good. So you see, there's I go back to my slides. So, in conclusion, why this project? Well, this project wouldn't exist without GD extension and sharing memory MIDI, as you saw. It's not possible in GD script alone. Tips going forward, I'm really, really fast on this. Try C and C++. Try C before C++ if you can. You can even try use online editors for this, like rippleit.com. You can set up C projects and just hack away. Learn about pointers. They cannot hurt you, even if others say otherwise. Pointers are the weird arrows that you see and the stars. There's a good video of low-level learning about that. I highly suggest you to read it. Object and or pointers and ref counters are ref with carrots. Well, it's still a pointer, but a special one. Next. I'll show you how to instantiate ones. And contribute back to Godot. GD extension and Godot CPP are made to behave like a native Godot module. Don't be afraid. So that's all. I have some special thanks. Thanks everybody for listening to me, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much, Adam Scott. I guess we have time for two questions, though, because we go to the lunch break. So keep this in your hand, probably. If somebody has a question about this Godot Doom port.
How did you integrate the MIDI library with the Godot audio system?
Well, I used, I don't remember the names exactly, but I used like the node that makes you able to generate audio on the list, on the fly. Then I passed like, I explained too rapidly, but like FluidSynth, can you give you a buffer? And then I just took the buffer, put it in the node, that generates sounds, and then it generated the music. So that's why you could hear the music. It was generated, it was played by Godot, but generated with FluidSynth. So that's how you can integrate like libraries that comes from other places and then put it in Godot back. So yeah, so that's how.
One last question.
How did you handle input exactly? Because you didn't cover that.
Yes, how did I input? So
in my Godot Doom node, I just handle the input like I would like other, any other games, so with the input loop and such. And then when I got the input, I would put that in the struct, in the shared memory. I would say I would have a map of every key that exists, and then if it's pressed or not, and then if it changed, and then my Doom program, or maybe it would be thread from now on, but it could read that and then apply it to go Doom. Doom will apply the logic, and then the screen buffer will return the mutated state. So that's how I handle the input.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you, everybody.